All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Kenny Young, and this is my wife, Carissa. We are preparing to go to Germany this coming January with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. If you came out last night to eat bratwurst and eat potato salad and cucumber salad with us, it was a great time. I definitely ate way too much, but it was good. Today, I didn't have to eat as much breakfast that way. But anyways, we are wrapping up a two-year internship from here in New Jersey. We were in Manchester with Building on the Rock Community Church, where before you go with the Alliance, you have to do at least 2 years with the church, learning how to minister to people, learning how God wants to continue to work through you, but also in building partnership with that church, as it's the churches here that send us overseas and other missionaries like us to go to places all around the world that have not yet heard the name of Jesus. So anyways, like I said, I am Kenny. This is my wife, Carissa. We have two children with us. Well, we only have two children, so we did bring two children with us. It's not like we have 17. We left 15 of them at home. That would be insane. So anyways, yeah, we have Oliver. Oliver is 2 years old. He is a firecracker, likes to run around, and calls a cat a meow meow now, thanks to Christian. And we have our daughter Elsie. She is 7 weeks old today. She is a beautiful young lady that, well, she's still a baby, so we're learning more about her every day. But anyways, what we are doing, we are right now raising awareness, raising partnership, sharing about the journey that God's taken us on to get to where we are now. It has been a long road, a bumpy road at times to get from where I grew up in Ohio and where Carissa grew up in Minnesota to where we are now, months away from hopping on an airplane with two suitcases apiece to go share the hope of Christ with those who have not yet heard. We are going specifically to Northeast Germany. I believe there's a map of where we're going. There's Oliver. There's Elsie. You can say, "Oh, so cute." She got my looks because Carissa still has hers. So anyways, we're going to Northeast Germany. It is that star up on the map there. It is Wachen, Germany. Sometimes I get the R right, sometimes I don't. So it looks like Warren. Anyways, we're going there. It is formerly the East Germany. It is still in the East, but it is formerly East Germany, where it was very Soviet and restriction in terms of how much the church could grow. Carissa will share a little bit more about that later. But anyways, our journey has been very interesting. It took God moving us from a comfortable place where I grew up. It was super familiar. Warren, Ohio, a church where we had our first missionary, it's called an Alliance Licensed Ministry Experience, so we just say internship. Our first internship in Ohio, we had to get fired from that job to be moved to New Jersey, where God did a work in our hearts and grew us a lot closer to Him through that. So I'm going to tell more about that story, how it happened, what we learned, as I walk us through the passage. Romans 10, verses 9 through 15 is the passage we'll be looking at, if you have your Bibles with you. So as we open that up, I'm going to pray and ask God to be with us yet again. God, we thank you for... God, thank you for your word and how you can speak to it, to us through it every day. Your word is living, it's active. Your Holy Spirit can show us new things about it every day, whether we've read the passage once, twice, or 100 times. God, thank you for what you've shown me in this passage and how you're going to use this passage to challenge us and to speak to us today. In your name we pray, amen. So, this passage, if you know Romans 10, awesome, but I will share a little bit about it first. Romans 10, this passage, talks about the need for people to hear the gospel. Because if you can't hear something, you aren't going to know about it. It's significant for all of us because it talks about sending workers, sending people to hear about, sending people to share the gospel so that people can then hear the gospel. It's a big picture. We all get to be a part of it. And why is it significant for us? Is whether you're sent or you're being sent, whether you're sent or you are doing the sending, you are a part of the body of Christ, which gets to share the hope of Christ to the world that doesn't know. The journey that this passage took me on as I was looking at it and looking back at the past 2 years, God's continually breaking us down, building us up, breaking us down, building us up so that we can grow more and more in Him and have a better understanding of who He is and who we are in Him. You see, when we started our internship in Ohio, this would have been 2015. In my head, this is the church I grew up in. It's people that I know. It's family. It was a big church. They've sent missionaries before. Clearly, this is the place that I want to go. I am, if you ask my wife, I like things to be kind of in order and in a particular way. And I, let's just say, I have an accounting degree, so I like structure and order to things. So I might be a little annoying in that way. But in my head, as an accounting type mind, I was thinking, to get overseas, to be an international worker, I have to just print off this list from cmalliance.org about how to be an international worker, and then I can check off my check boxes, and then I can go. Piece of cake. Wrong. So when I thought about that checkbox of this 2-year internship, I was thinking, let's just go to the easiest place. It's people we know. They love us because we're family. And it's going to work out all hunky-dory and lovely because it's the church. Everyone gets along in the church. I was super naive and thinking that because the church is made up of people that are just as screwed up as the rest of the world. The only difference is we've met Christ and we've asked for forgiveness and we've repented of our sins. So when I walked into the door of the church and we started out, I'm thinking, I'm hot stuff, I know what I'm doing, I'm going to go overseas. And I was totally wrong. I immediately ran into conflict. I immediately ran into people. Yes, I ran into people who I got into arguments with, just like you might in any other workplace. The only thing is, I went in thinking that it was going to be perfect. I was wrong. It's still the church. But it's just that we can go together and say, God, forgive us for what we've done. So anyways, through all that and the pride that I brought into that internship, about 10 months into it, I ended up getting fired. Fired from my home church. And Carissa was 8 months pregnant with our son Oliver at the time. And so it was a time in our lives that was like, the anger that I felt towards the people and the bitterness that started to build up in my heart was just, it was hard to, I can't put a number on it, I can't measure it. It's something that everyone here has hurt. Everyone here has things that they hold on to. And God used the past 2 years for us to, the first especially 5 months of our internship here in New Jersey, to really show us what the church is, to relearn what the church is, and to learn what repentance and forgiveness is. So with that, I say all that to point out that God wanted me to really see that as we look at this passage even further, it's not about going and simply preaching, but it's about the heart of the preacher going. It's about the heart of the preacher, whether you're going somewhere or whether you're preaching to your neighbor, as we sang in the song earlier. So, Romans 9, verses 30 through chapter 10, verse 8. Paul sets up the next passage here, and it just shows that God's given us something great. God's given us salvation through Christ. It's not about a pursuit of law. We have rules and regulations in place to show us what's a good thing to do and what's a bad thing to do. And again, in the same way, when I was looking at my internship as just a checkbox, I was looking at it as a legalistic type thing, just something that I had to do to get where I wanted to go, not where God was directing me, not where God was directing my steps. In the same way, the law is something that we can pursue to obey. The law gives us good rules, good ways to honor God, but it isn't something that is something. It's not, the law isn't the pursuit. It is a relationship with God and being in oneness with Him that you can only have when you're being obedient to Him. Christ's death made the law unnecessary. If we look at Christ's death, it should make us desire a life of obedience. As Christ was obedient to His Father, so we want to be obedient to our Father in heaven. So, let's start. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, they say that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So what is verse 9 saying? It's these two verses spell out salvation pretty simply, that if we call out to Jesus, we first call on God and say, God, will you forgive me? God, I need you. Will you forgive me for my sins, for whatever it might be that's getting in the way of you and me having a relationship? God, will you forgive me for lying to my parents? God, will you forgive me from stealing from work? God, will you forgive me for looking at pornography? God, will you forgive me for any number of these things? Whatever the sin it is, we need to acknowledge it and call on God and recognize that God will forgive you. God has forgiven you, but He wants us to acknowledge our sin and to reach out to Him and ask for that. But it goes one step further when it says, after confess with your mouth, it says, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. This is the heart condition that we want to look at. It's the heart condition that I'm talking about when it looks at a job description or a calling. What does God want me to do? If we really believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, we know that the death for me, if I die today, I'm dead. Like, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. A couple days later, I'm going to be 6 feet under, and you're not going to see me until we meet in glory again. Death is final. And this is something that medicine's great and all, but Jesus died, He was buried for 3 days, and He rose again. And if we really believe that death is that final thing for me or you, for Jesus, as He conquered death, He was dead and then He rose again, that means that sin, the ultimate penalty of sin is death. And if we think about that, with the ultimate penalty for sin, or the wages of sin is death, as you think that Christ rose from the dead, that means that He didn't sin. His wages was not death, because He didn't sin. So He conquered death. He's more powerful than sin. He's more powerful than Satan. So then, if we continue to verse 10, it says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess that you are saved and you are saved. So justified. Justification is one of those big words that you might hear a preacher talk about. It's kind of complicated, but to put it simply, it means that we are able to be with God. We can be in His presence. God is so holy, God is so perfect, that if we even have the slightest bit of sin on us, so like I have some eczema. If I am even with a spot of eczema and I've had no lying or anything, even that little imperfection, I cannot be in the presence of God. It is because of our sin that we can't be with God. But it is because of Christ's death that we can then be justified, be in the presence of God, because it is through the holiness of Christ, that we can be with God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore you have been justified through faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God is something we should strive for, something we should desire, and peace with God is what really can put the foundation to our relationship with Him growing. We want to see not just ourselves in a peaceful relationship with God, but we want to see others also in that peaceful relationship with God. If you're warring with God continually, there's no room for a healthy growing. Like if Carissa and I, for example, if all we did was fight about who's changing the poopy diaper, who's waking up in the night to feed Elsie, who's cleaning the dishes, we do those things sometimes, we might argue, but if that is all we did, we would never grow in our relationship. There would never be any sacrificing for one another, there would never be any unity, there would never be any growth together. In the same way, we want to see, God, where do you want my heart to be? What's the direction you have? Where do you want me to grow? What do you want me to sacrifice? So either we can have peace with God, or we can just ignore His commands and say, forget it, I've been saved, I don't need to do what you want me to do, I'm going to do whatever I want. And that's where I think it's easy to struggle sometimes as a believer. Oftentimes you might see someone who says, Jesus, I need you, forgive me of my sins, and they say, oh, I'm saved, that's great, and they're excited for a month, but then once the challenges come of seeing what God wants you to sacrifice, whether it is whether it's waking up earlier so you can read your Bible with Him, whether it's me really putting forth the effort to say, Carissa, will you pray with me, or whether it's as the offering plate's being passed, having to put that extra $10 on the check because you feel God directing you to do that. Whatever it might be, it's always going to be a challenge, but God wants us to be obedient. So anyways, Romans 10:13 then, as the passage continues, says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is Paul emphasizing, hey, if you want to be saved, call on the name of the Lord and say, God, help me. But how can people call? How can they call on the name of the Lord? Verses 14 and 15 say, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in, and how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, and how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." Let's focus on verse 14 for just a minute. The first question summarized, how can they call on someone that they have not believed in? So we think about belief. That's what was mentioned earlier. The calling, the saying, God, I need you. And then the belief is the heart. What does our heart really believe in? The next question says, well, but what if, like, how can you believe? You can't believe in something you haven't yet heard about. You have to hear the news before you can believe in the news. I don't know, I think about news stories where sometimes, the hurricane or storms in Hawaii, I had no clue they were happening until yesterday because I just hadn't heard it on the radio, I hadn't looked at the news, and so I was oblivious to it. In the same way, the lost world is oblivious to Jesus Christ because they have not heard His name, they haven't heard the hope that we have in Him. The next question that it asks is, how can they hear without a preacher? Simply put, whether it's you're preaching to your coworker, whether it's I'm preaching here to you today, whether you go on a short-term trip and you're preaching there, whether you're at Wawa, whatever it might be, people need someone sharing about it. But there has to be someone sharing. There has to be that preacher. There needs to be a voice. What's crazy to me in looking at God and creating us and how my sin has separated me from Him, but I've been forgiven, is that for as banged up, beat up, messed up as I can be sometimes, God still wants to use me to fulfill the plan that He has for us, to fulfill the plan that He has for the lost world. And what's so cool about that is that as He wants to use me, why does He want to use me? Is because, yeah, I'm screwed up, but He's forgiven me, and that is something that I get to share, that I have been forgiven. But the heart. Let's look back at the heart again. What does the heart of the preacher look like? Now, if Carissa and I, if we stayed in Ohio and we decided just to push through an internship there, we would have remained bitter. We would have remained angry. We would have remained just, our hearts would have become hardened if we stayed in that condition. But that's not what God desires for us. God desires for us to be, as a church, unified and forgiving one another. So, last June, we went to Ohio for General Council. It's when all the pastors and leaders from the Christian Missionary Alliance gathered together. So we got to go there. And at this point, we had been in New Jersey for a little over 6 months, or about 6 months at that point. And God had really placed it on our hearts, go to your church and ask for forgiveness for what you did. This was one of the hardest things that I have had to do in a long time. To walk up to Myron and Sharon. Myron is one of my good friends growing up, his father, and he's the senior pastor at the church, and his wife Sharon. We saw them there, and I know, like, inside of me, it was like, okay, you gotta ask for repent. You gotta ask for forgiveness. You gotta repent. You gotta say you're sorry, and you gotta expect nothing in return. Like, whether or not they want to forgive you, just go and repent. Say, will you forgive me for what I did? I remember seeing them. They walked down the hallway, and it was like, ah, there's Myron. Now I gotta actually do this thing that I know God wants me to do. And so finally, they walked down and said, Myron, Sharon, will you forgive me for the pride I had in Ohio? Will you forgive me for being angry towards you? Will you forgive me for these things? And it was a beautiful moment of them saying, yes, we forgive you, we love you, and being again able to have a restored relationship with a brother and sister in Christ was so important. Because as we're like looking forward to even when we're going to Germany, we know that with this restored relationship, they are also a church that we are unified with. There is not a divide between us in that. So, for all of us, Romans 10:15 says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I think when I initially studied this passage, probably the first time 5-6 years ago, I looked at that and I was like, missionaries' feet, international workers' feet, those are beautiful feet. That's not what this is saying at all. We all get to bring the good news to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family, to the world all around us, whether it's New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, South America, the whole globe. I can't name every place right now, that we could be here forever. But what God desires is that our feet go and bring the good news, but our feet are only beautiful when we walk in obedience to Him. It's the obedience and the continual repentance for the whatever we have in our lives dividing us from Him. It's that repentance and that willingness to go to someone and say, hey, I am sorry for what I did. Do you realize, like, when the unbelieving world, I know people say sorry and they ask for forgiveness. Sometimes you might see it, but true repentance, true asking for forgiveness doesn't happen all that often. So when a Christian can go to their unbelieving friend and say, like, day in and day out, this isn't just once, but day in and day out, saying, hey, will you forgive me for what I did? Asking for forgiveness is weird. Like, to the world, we don't want to do that. If we're just our human hearts, we don't want to do that. We want to remain strong, prideful, and we don't want to show any chink in our armor. So the beauty that comes is when we get to bring the name of Jesus and the obedience that we walk in day in and day out to God. So I hope that as we're sharing today and looking at as we're being sent by the big family of the Christian Missionary Alliance, you don't see it as just like, okay, Carissa's feet are beautiful and she's going to Germany. That's wonderful. No, it is your feet. It's my feet. It's all of our feet that are beautiful, continually bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to those who haven't yet shared, who have not yet heard the name of Jesus. Now, one of the... As we think about that, and those who haven't yet heard the name of Jesus, there are people here in New Jersey who haven't yet heard. Has your neighbor heard? Do you have unsaved family who haven't heard? Think about those people. Pray about them throughout the week and say, God, give me the opportunity to share the hope that I really do have. Give me the opportunity to share with them. Now, as we look at Germany, there are reasons why we feel called to Germany. And Carissa has a story about a girl she knew. And I think it's really cool and eye-opening at the same time to see why Germany, and knowing that this is also true here in New Jersey.
Yes, I shared the story last night as well, but when we look at this passage and we hear about people not hearing, I think sometimes we think that everyone's heard, everyone knows about Jesus or God, but I lived in Germany for 2 years and had an experience. I played soccer on a team with girls my age. So I was like 24 at the time. These are educated girls who live in a first world country like Germany, and having an experience with sharing and mentioning the name of Jesus and being stopped in the middle of a conversation, and this girl Anna saying, okay, you said Jesus, now who is that? And just the shock and the reminder that there are people today still who have not yet heard the name of Jesus, and getting to explain to her for the first time who Jesus was. She knew the concept of God, she knew those things, but who Jesus truly was and what he did for her, that was a foreign concept to her. So getting to explain that and share that with her was really a special thing, and also the reminder of why we go to Germany is because there are people who don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what he did for them. They may have heard of baby Jesus at Christmas time, but aside from that, that he died for them, that he offers forgiveness and salvation, is something that many people in that area have not yet heard. So you can go to the next slide. So yeah, why Germany? That's, for me, that's the big why. That's what, in the past 5 years, as we've been in Ohio and New Jersey, that story of Anna and others that I met, that is the driving thing of why. Why Germany? Because there are people there who need to know and need to have the opportunity to call on the name of Jesus to be saved. So you can go to the next slide. But let's talk about a little bit quickly. We talked last night more in depth, but why would a country like Germany not know the name of Jesus? Why would East Germans need to hear the good news? Many of us, when we think of Germany, we think of these things, World War II, Hitler, the Nazis, World War I even, before that. And you think all the way back to before World War I, Germany's been through a lot. The German people have quite the history of people coming in and governments and different things, and a lot of destruction in that area. Especially when we talk about East Germany, even after World War II ended, the war didn't end and then everything just went back to normal in Germany. And many of you know that. But after that, the Soviets got control of part of Germany, and it was divided between West Germany and East Germany. And the Allied forces got to have West Germany, and the Soviets, who are communists, had East Germany. And the Soviets did not like religion, did not like the church, and did not like God. So they sought to drive that out of that part of Germany. And if you look at statistics, they were quite successful at doing so. You can go ahead to the next slide. So after the wall came down in 1989, which for me, I was born in 1988. So even hearing the wall going down in 89 as a kid growing up seemed like distant history. That was so long ago. But it was very eye-opening to me to live there and to meet people who, that's all they knew was life behind the wall for a long time. So a survey was taken of that part of Germany after the wall fell. And they found that 90% of East Germans were atheists. On that list of the survey, the second one on the list was Slovenia, and it was at 30% atheist. So think about that huge gap between East Germany and the rest of the countries listed on there. So you have 90%. Less than 1% of East Germans would attend church. If you look up Germany online to see about statistics of what religion Germans are, you'll find that it states most Germans are Protestant. But in Germany, you pay taxes to a church. So even if I don't attend a church, I might be registered as a member of a church so that my kids could be baptized there and then my taxes will go there. But I might not ever step foot back in that church, maybe for Christmas, maybe for Easter. So less than 1% actually are committed church attenders in Northeast Germany. So just if you think about that history and how long that went on, that these people were raised in a culture and a society where church and God was just not something you talked about. It wasn't a part of your culture. Even here in the States, I might not be a believer, but I'm at least familiar with people who go to church. I might know some Christians or things like that, but that isn't the culture of that area. You could go ahead to the next slide. But with all that to be said, there is revival happening in Germany and in East Germany, and God is working there, and He is on the move. And so that's why we're so excited to go to Germany, because there are people that need to know. They need to know the name of Jesus and the hope that comes from Him. And we talk about forgiveness and repentance. These are people who walk around still with the shame and the guilt of what happened in their country and what the rest of the world sees them as. And they need to know that there's freedom in Christ, and that through Him and Him alone can there be freedom from that. So that's why we're excited to go. So I'm going to share just a little bit about what is happening there. This is a picture of the town that we're going to. It's a beautiful city on the largest freshwater lake that's actually in Germany. You can go ahead to the next slide. But they're using creative means to plant a church in this city. And one of those ways is through using Legos. So on a church, if I didn't grow up knowing about church, I might be a little nervous to step foot in a place like this and attend church with my family. But we offer a Lego brunch where the Bible lesson is shared through using Legos. And kids can come in and build Legos, and it is a way that we start discussion about the Bible and things like that. And there's food involved. So families are coming out, bringing their kids, and that is a way that people are hearing the name of Jesus in that town. Go ahead to the next slide. English camps, we talked about too, is a huge way. This area of Germany, for the longest time, kids would be learning Russian as their second language, but the desire is now to learn English, and because it's a little more useful in business and things like that than Russian would be. So we get to hang out with teenagers and youth for a whole week and teaching them English, but using the Bible and worship songs and things like that as a way to teach English. So kids who might have never attended a church before, their parents feel comfortable sending them here so that they can learn English and don't really mind that the Bible is being preached to them as long as they're learning English. So we bring teams of Americans. We would love to have, if you guys ever wanted to send a team, come and we cook authentic American food like Sloppy Joe's and lasagna and things like that, and really immerse them in American culture in a little farm town in Germany and teach them English. And also, many of these kids have come to know Christ through this week at camp. This girl here in the second one in, she was baptized last year, her and her brother, and they live in the town that we're in, and they are going to, I mean, a whole youth group has kind of formed around them and their friends because they are on fire for Christ. And it's really cool to see the youth really rising up and sharing their faith with other kids in their schools. You can go to the next slide. And then we do day camps for elementary school kids. This is really cool. This is a story that I was promised last night. So here it is that you've all been waiting for. No, but English day camp started in 2014. That's when I lived in Germany. Kenny and I got to be a part of the very first English day camp. We decided we were just going to do this, and the whole school system in town got behind this idea. And we had over 60 kids. We had to say no more can register because we didn't have enough space, whose parents signed them up to come to this day camp. Through this camp, we built relationships with the teachers of the public school system and the mayor of the town. All of them are not believers, but they loved that we were here being willing to teach their kids for pretty much free, teach English to them. So this relationship formed back in 2014. We made the paper. I mean, this camp got, it just was a hit. After that time, I would walk into the bakery that I had been going to for a long time, and people would say, oh, you're one of the Americans. And through this camp, the reputation of the missionaries there just really blossomed. You can go ahead to the next slide. Through that, so the missionary family, the Ben and Sarah Carey, they're the ones who headed up this camp. They were home for their year last year in Toledo, Ohio. Before they left, the head teacher of the local school called and said, hey, when you're in the States, can we do something to bless you? And she said, okay, well, what do you have in mind? She said, I'd like to send some teachers to your church so we could teach you about German culture. They're not Christians, but they wanted to show this church who had sent this family to them what it was like for this missionary family. So 8 East Germans, many of them, 2 of them had never been on a plane before. Some of them had never left Germany or that region, came to Toledo, Ohio to an Alliance church and did a camp for the church congregants to teach them about Germany. But through that, we insisted that instead of they stay in a hotel, they stayed in homes with the church members. So each German stayed with a Christian family, and it got to experience the love of Christ for the first time in their lives. And God did an amazing work that week. During that week, one woman accepted Christ and as her Savior through the relationship with her host family. But the story I really want to share, so there's me, and next to me is Thomas. He is a detective in the town. He's very well known. He's connected with, like, the mayor. He knows everybody, one of those guys. He grew up in going to church but not having a relationship with Jesus. On the Sunday that we were there, him and another woman after the church service came up to me and another missionary sobbing and said, I don't know what we just experienced, but our town needs this. We need this. The people don't know it yet, but this is what we need. And we got to share with him how we've been wanting to plant a church in that town. And he said, I'm in. I am all in. My family and I are in. And him getting excited about being a part of planting this church. The other woman, she has the scarf on and the glasses. She is the head of the after-school program in the town. She was so moved by the church service and has been following up with the missionaries, constantly asking questions. What was that experience? She actually said God is real. And for her, she grew up not believing in God at all. And then the young man there too, he's been being discipled by the missionary and reading through the gospel, eating it all up, wanting to learn more about God. So through that trip, awesome things have happened and are continuing to happen in the people of that town. And that's what we get to go back and be a part of. And so we're so thankful that we get that opportunity, because I believe that 4 years from now, when we come back after our term and share with you, there's going to be hundreds more stories like this and seeing God just do crazy, awesome things in that city.
Yeah. So... yeah, as Chris has said, hopefully in 4 years, not hopefully, in 4 years we'll be able to come back and share what God's been doing, what He has done, and share the hope of what He will continue to do. But how can you stay connected and do that? There's some pretty simple ways. In the back at our table, we have a sign-up sheet where you can put your email address. We send a monthly update, sometimes 2 times a month, and it's usually interesting, maybe. Depends on who writes it. You can sign up, you can read that. We'd love to share, and we can tell stories about what's happening in our lives, ask for how to tell you specifically how to pray. We can't go without people praying for us. So an easy reminder to pray for us, we also have prayer cards in a basket. It's a 4x6 card that is lovely, and you can put it on your refrigerator. Anytime you go and you open your refrigerator, you can see us and pray for us and be reminded that you have, as a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, you have workers overseas that are partnered with you guys. And also, we are going and we get to bring two suitcases apiece. So we are raising right now what's called our outfit fund. Not that we're going to replace our clothes. It means that we get to bring two suitcases apiece. Our apartment, whatever apartment we get, will be empty. So we need to have, we're raising funds so we can purchase a couch or a coffee table or things like that. So that as we do ministry in our home, it's really a home that we can welcome people into, and also a place that maybe if you come and visit, you can take a nap on that couch. But in all seriousness, if you're interested in giving to the outfit fund, it's on the back of the card, or just ask one of us and we can tell you more about that. But in all, thank you guys so much for having us. We really love you guys. We love your church. And we love being a part of this big family called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We're not going alone. When we say we are going, we mean like we are going. You and me. We're all going together. And to me, that like I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking like we are going with churches behind us like you. So I thank you guys so much.
I know normally at our missions conference, we ask the missionary to close in their language. And Kenny, I'm not going to put you on the spot. They have language study. That's one of the first things that they'll be doing. I know Carissa speaks a little bit, probably Kenny will say pretty good, but she's going to go through it as well. But so be praying that's one of really can be a stumbling block for missionaries, is submersing themselves in the language. That's the first hurdle that they really have to cross, is being able to learn it and speak it so they can communicate Jesus Christ to other people. I will ask you to meet, go in the back if you would, and greet people as they leave, if that's okay. I don't know if you have to go get the kids, that's fine too, but please be praying for them. When they're overseas, and even now, they have a lot they're going to be doing in the coming months before they go over, and that can be overwhelming as well, so they'll need your prayer for that. I'll close in prayer real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for people that are willing to put their entire life into your hands. Lord, that they go not knowing what they'll face. That the verse I read today, Lord, is many is the plans of men, but the heart of God is victorious, Lord. And Lord, from hearing Kenny and Krista, we know that that's their desire, that they have your heart, and that they're victorious in advancing your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.